I have a few announcements to make. We're getting a little bit of a late start, and we need to kind of stay on schedule because we're going to have lunch served at a particular time, and we got a few things to do. How many golfers do we have in the room? How many wannabe golfers?
Okay, how about has-been?
How many people?
Has-been.
How many people are familiar with Ping golf clubs? Okay, I just want to point something out to you. If you look out the window here, this house right here, if I recall, was the house owned by Karsten Solheim. He was in his garage. He worked for Motorola in his garage. He invented the Ping putter that launched this phenomenal golf package that we have today. But anyway, he lived right here. He bought this course several years ago and restored it to the beautiful condition it is today. It's recently been bought by the owners, and it's operated by Troon. But I'm mentioning that because he was a good Christian man, and we knew him. Kelly had worked for them and knew him personally, and from the little bit I did know of him, he was a very godly man, and he passed away a few years ago. But anyway, it's just a little Karsten Solheim. Today's meetings, we've got a little bit of change in schedule. It's a good thing I didn't print off a schedule as we usually do this year. First meeting is going to be Mike. Second meeting is going to be Forrest. Then after lunch, it'll be Mike and then Phil. And then tomorrow, we'll have two more meetings with Mike. If anyone is interested in books, see Kathleen. There's a book. And also, we have a publication here that George is making available for anyone who wants it. Words of Truth and Blessing. This is on dispensationalism. Right?
That's right. So, Ministry of Apostle Paul.
So if you want one, see him, and he will give you one or get it one to you. You don't have too many copies. And finally, as I mentioned, we're going to have lunch immediately after the second message today. So stick around.
Tapes, they can see me, and I'll
get their ideas. Good point. You want tapes? Or hopefully I'll put MP3 recordings on the internet if you want access to them.
I think he's got videos.
Yeah, I had. I've been trying to make some videos of all these things, record them as we've been going along. I've been having problems with the taped versions. I started at your conference last year, so I got another camera this year. But I do have with me today, I got MP3 copies of Mike's conference from last year and the year before. I've got MP3 copies, just a few of our conference this past October that we had in South Carolina. And I've got a few of the latest TFT conference that was had last year. So if anybody needs any of those, see me afterwards. I've got probably 3 or 4 copies of each that you can have. And it's on a CD, and the entire conference is on there, but they're in the MP3 format. So you'll have to have a computer to play them. And you can, if you've got the proper software on a computer, you can take that and convert the MP3s into an audio CD. They'll play in a car or in just a regular CD player. So any questions about that or anything, I'd be glad to help everybody. So right. Let you know that.
And just one more thing I might mention, too, that there are some more conferences coming up, just need to make you aware of. June 2nd in Peru, Indiana, TFT conference. In September, the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that's so Ronnie can't go dove hunting.
And that is, where will it be? In
Mineral Point, it's Mineral called, Point. Yeah.
If you want more information, see this couple here. Actually, see her. She's the one with the
See Diane. What about that one?
Then we have one in the fall. What's the date? October?
October 6, 7, and 8 in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
And he'll give you details on that. So you've got a full year of conferences. And we're planning one. We're planning a 1 week or 4 or 5 day camp retreat, really dig into the Word type of thing. That, I don't know if it'll happen this year, but we're going to make it happen, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So at this time, I'm going to introduce you to Mike. He, to me, is one of the best speakers around. And probably more so than that, sincere. One thing that gets me when I listen to a speaker is when I know somebody's sincere, humility of mind, that it just melts my heart and makes things a whole lot easier to understand the word. And, Mike brings that. He's very honest. If he doesn't know something, he says, he admits it, and I admire that. And because none of us, who of us has all the truth here? And anyway, he's coming to minister to us, and we thank the Lord for him. He's under, I can just tell you, he's been through a lot of stress these last few days, and we really appreciate him, and especially the faithfulness of the Lord who's got him here in the first place.
Amen.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Brian. Oh, did I turn it down wrong? That little hand. Oh, thanks. Hello. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? I always feel like a terrorist, you know, I'm wired. That's a joke. I know it's a joke. Hello. Good morning. Really nice to see you here. For all those that that prayed for us, I had problems of death in the family with my baby sister. She fought a battle with cancer for 2.5 years and has a young son and a real nice husband, and it was just something really, I don't know what the words are, sad, incredible to go through, to watch that happen. Last 3 months of her life, she couldn't even eat solid food, and this is, you know, she's 43 years old. And when things like that happen, I think the rubber really meets the road of life. You know, we as human beings, we tend to think we're indestructible. And in actuality, we're very fragile. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to be talking about in my first session is our humanness. One thing I'm going to pass around is I'm going to pass around a picture of a 8-week-old human being. All right? This is an awesome picture. It's an 8-week-old human being, just like you were, by the way. All right? We're going to read Psalms 139, talking about how marvelously we were formed in the womb. And see, the point of my discussions are going to be this, is that we have been called to the right hand of the Father in the Son of God. But what are we really when we match ourselves up to creation in the universe and to God Himself? This is where we all were at one time, 8 weeks old. So what I'm going to do is my lessons are basically be thankful to the maximum, but beware. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Because even though you've been given great things of the Lord, you have an attack going on in the world that you live. The world that he created, according to John 1, is opposed to him. He stepped into his own creation, and they wouldn't have him. But as many as those that believe, even in his name, he gave the power to be the children of God.
Amen.
And yet we are the adopted sons of God. We are mature people in the Word of God. But we all began here. And see, my first lesson is to give you an understanding of who you are in the flesh to begin with, and what a miracle that is. What a miracle it is, the world you live in, the bodies that you live in, and how thankful you should be to be sitting here today, functioning second by second, being able to hear, being able to live on this planet, let alone being able to understand the Word of God and being called to His right hand. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Be thankful. And we're so very unthankful for all of the blessings we truly have. So, you know, you might think this is a little odd, but with this is where you were at 8 weeks. Okay, and you might think, wow, that's kind of strange. The fact of it is that's where you were. All right, so what I want you to do is I want you to zero in on these things. And I'm going to say to you that this Word of God is not a cavalier thing. I say this a lot anymore. It's not a wishy-washy cavalier thing of taking, and taking or leaving. Okay, you're talking about Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the Son of God who shed his blood for you. All these things are tremendous, and they're very important, and they're very serious. Life is serious, really, especially when you're in a battle. So, you know, this might impact you a little bit. Just pass it around and look at it. It's an awesome picture. Eight-week-old human being. All right? Let's read Psalms 139. Please. What I'm going to do is this, is I'm going to look at the state of creation, meaning that I'm going to look at, I'm going to give you a few facts on your human body, the world you live in, the universe you live in, and how thankful you should be just to be sitting here and you're not flying off into outer space. I'm serious. You might think this is bizarre, but the fact of the matter is it's fact. The fact of the matter is if I put forth a few comments about just the world you're sitting on and what's happening to it, the grace you're given just to be here and sit here is a miracle.
Amen.
All right? It is. And I don't care what human beings say or think. The fact of the matter is that's what it is. So you be thankful from the start. Then I'm going to go to the book of Job. And I'm going to talk about what is called the oldest lesson in the world. I'm going to be talking about how can a mortal man be justified with an immortal holy God. I'm going to be going into that, and that's going to get into the philosophies of men. Because Job was confronted by three different philosophies of men to tell him why he was going through all the hardship he was. The fact of the matter is they didn't have it right, and neither did he. That's what the book of Job is about. So I'm going to go into that, and then I'm going to go into Acts 17, where the Apostle Paul confronts the philosophies of men again on Mars Hill in Athens. And he's talking, he confronts all these philosophers who were in Athens, the greatest seat of philosophy and knowledge of the day. And even to this day, it's revered, by the way, by the world as having the knowledge of the world, but it's worldly knowledge. So the Apostle Paul had to step down to confront these supposed men of renown because he had the wisdom of God and they had the wisdom of the world. Then I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1, which talks about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. And the reason I'm doing that is because at the same time that we should be thankful, we should beware. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians, right? Beware of vain philosophies, of the rudiments of the world. Well, what's he talking about? A vain deceit, because that's coming at you. That's coming at your kids. All right, it's coming at you. So we're in this life, and we're supposed to be very thankful, but we're supposed to beware. We have an attacker in Ephesians 6. That's coming at you all the time. He came at Job. So all of these things I'm piecing together, if that makes sense to you. Then I'm going to go into Ephesians 1, and I'm going to discuss 23 Greek words. And you'll have to pardon my pronunciation of them, but I'm working on it. And I'm going to tell you this, that getting into the original language is awesome. Because the more you dig into them, the more you'll know your God. That is a dead, solid fact. And once you get into them, it's not a hard thing. It's a beautiful thing. Hebrew, Greek. It's a beautiful thing. It's not a hard thing. You get into it like the word, and then all of a sudden it grabs you, and you start going and going, and you can't believe it. That's the way the Lord works. So I'm going to say to you that I promote that, standing here 5'6", Polish. I promote that truth, that I know that. So I'm here to testify of that. If you spend the time in the Word, you're going to reap the rewards. That's the way our God is. He diligently rewards you if you seek Him. If you don't, that's what you get.
Amen.
That's what he's like. Because he could make you a perfect being in a thought. Right? We know that. All right? So I'm going to be reading Ephesians 1. So those are the scriptures. Psalms 139. The book of Job, I'm probably not going to read a lot there, but I'm going to talk about it. Acts 17, Ephesians 1, 1 Corinthians 1. All right? So that's where I'm going. Right now I'm going to read Psalms 139, and then I'm going to talk about the creation that you're in. your bodies, a little bit about that. And by the way, this is just the tip of the iceberg. If you're a person that is a scientist, a chemist, an engineer, a nurse, a doctor, person that grows things, a pilot, how many other things I can say when you're dealing with the created universe, which you are all the time, these things are these things that I'm going to mention about your creator are just the tip of the iceberg, by the way. The more they study, the more they find bigger and bigger worlds in the fields of biology and genetics and medicine. The more they study, the more of a big, intricate world they find out. Like there's a universe 300,000 times small that if it didn't exist, you'd be dead, by the way. Bacteria, viruses, things that break down your food, cells, things in cells that were, if they weren't there, you'd be dead right now. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The point of it is that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator. All right, be thankful for it. Okay, do you know? I hope you understand where I'm going. All right, I do, so that's all that matters, eh? A little bit of joke there. We can have fun. I like to have fun, a little crazy, but that helps. Psalms 139, all right? Because you can have joy in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? There's so much pain, so much hardship out there. So many people are so down, so depressed, so bummed. I ask everybody, how's your attitude? They look at me like, who's this guy, you know? But you can be joyful in life. You have a calling that's sure. You have strength in the Lord. You don't have fear. You shouldn't have fear. No fear. That's for us. When those people wear those no fear, when they wear those T-shirts, no fear, that's us. No fear. We shouldn't have any fear, really.
Amen.
You know, ultimately, because we have the power of the Lord, and we're living forever, starting right now, at least. Really. So I pray to the Lord myself. I say, Lord, make it real. I go out there, I look at the stars, and I say, please, I love you. I don't know what I'm doing some of the time, but make it real, please. Make this life for you real. And that's my way of saying, I love you, Lord, and I want to be real for you. I want to know you really. I just don't want to make you a categorized part of my life. I want to know you. So maybe it's a challenge. Maybe he's going to smoke me. I don't know. But I suppose I challenge him that way. But he says that if you're going to glory, you glory in him. So I say, all right, I want to glory in you, and Lord, help me to know you. All right, Psalms 139. So now, this is a little bit of be thankful, all right? Be thankful for what you are, who you are, the human being you are. You could be anything. I mean, you could be anything. You could be any sort of being in any sort of manner, but you're this human being. Interesting, you know, like we think, we take that for granted. We could be anything. We're this thinking being with a heart, a brain, cells, feet, hands, five fingers on each hand, two eyes, ears that hear, a brain that understands. You know, we are this creation. This creation has been given this word so that if I choose with this brain, I can understand this living word. This whole system could be anything. That's what I realize walking around. It could be anything, but it's this. All right, we're on this planet, third from the sun, interesting, in a solar system of nine planets, interesting. Could have been anything, but this is what it is. You know, I think about that. We could be anything. We could be 100 feet tall. We could be brainiacs. We could be dumb. Anything. We could look different, but this is the way we are. So, Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. He knows your every thought. He loves you. Thou understands my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Did you ever think like that? I have. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, right division of the scriptures, and I know the dispensation of the mysterion, and I'll get into that, why people, when they say mystery is kind of a bad word for mysterion, they're actually correct. The word mystery, this is a tangent, here we go, I'm like this. Tangent. The word mystery, which we claim to know, is an English word explaining a Greek word. The English word falls short of what mysterion is. All right? I'll get into explaining that. At any rate, did you ever feel that this knowledge was too great for you? Too wonderful for a sinful being like this to know? I have. I'm going to testify of that. Why me, Lord? Why would you choose me to know such awesome things about your holiness, about your Son, placing me in a sonship position in your Son? Unblameable, unreprovable. I'm going to be getting into that. How can this be? But it is. And see, this is starting to get into the be ye thankful, because the Lord is too good for us to believe, almost. It's too good to believe because it's greater than we can ever know. These things that we're given are fantastic. And then you can say, like I do, well, can't you just give me a little shot of it? Here, like I was talking to Barney, Ronnie, why doesn't the Lord just open up the floodgates a little bit so I can see what's coming? Right? Did you ever wonder that? Why can't I have a little taste of in heavenly places right now so I know what's coming, rather than dealing with this in its fallen state or this in its fallen state? Think about that one. I do. I know the answer to it. It's called F-A-I-T-H, faith. That's how you please Him. And if you knew your hope, you wouldn't have faith. You wouldn't have patience. And then you wonder, well, why does He want me to have patience? Why does He want me to have faith? Come on, let's go. That's how I am. Come on, you know, I trusted you. I have for 30 years. Let's go, Lord. I want it now, you know. But there's a reason to have faith. He's working a work in you. He's working a work in front of principalities and powers in you. That's another thing that is in your calling in Ephesians 3, that you're witnesses to principalities and powers. And you shine as lights in this world. Really? Boy, I don't feel like it. I shine as a light? Oh, boy, am I a failure. Or that light's pretty a dim bulb. That's what I think about myself sometimes. But this is all a matter of spiritual warfare and of faith. And the mysterion truth that you've been given. After Acts 28, Israel's not in the scene. All of these things are working together. All right? I hope that all makes sense. It really does. It makes sense to me then. That's all that matters. That was a joke. Okay, but it's really a tremendous picture. Where was I? Oh, such knowledge, verse 6, is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascended up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Awesome. He's holding us by, as the psalmist say, by our right hand, and He's leading us into glory. He is. The matter of you knowing that or not is a matter of faith, and it's a matter of you're being attacked. And it's a matter of, like Barney was saying, which is really important, we start getting involved and mucked up with so many things. Those are the devices of the evil one. Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices. We get mucked up in life. Could be nice muck, could be bad muck. We get mucked up. The next thing we know, we're walking a little off the right road. And then then just like a tangent, it starts spreading out big. You know, you create a little angle and you keep on going and it gets big like that. And that's how life can be. Get on a mucky road, not walking in the Lord, and it gets bigger and harder to get back. All right? And you don't have a lot of time. That's something I'm learning. I'm the big 5-0 now. I'm the big 5-0 now. And I go, that can't be. That can't be. I'm 50 years old. No, I was 20. I'm 21 in my head, you know. But I realize that if I'm lucky, what do I have, 35 years maybe? I'm possibly promised 20. You know, that's a flash, and I'm gone. So we don't have a lot of time. Even if you're 20, you don't have a lot of time. So this is the theater of the universe here. We are a theater of spectacle. That's what Paul was, if you study the Greek. You are a theater of spectacle to principalities and powers. You are. So we don't have a lot of time to be mucked up. Really. So what Barney was saying was so very important. You know. And you're supposed to redeem the times, buy them out. That's not something that is cavalier. If you want to choose it to treat it that way, that's the way your life's going to be. It's going to be cavalier and not too much working of the Lord in it. Might be nice, might be peaceful, who knows what. You know, but, and I'm talking to myself, too, believe me. I am not worthy to be up here, I know that, and I'm not worthy to know these things, and I'm as bad as anybody else, and I know that. Okay, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You're an awesome creation. If you study it, if you study anatomy, physiology, cellular biology, it is absolutely incredible. Atomic structure, the physical universe, it's absolutely incredible. Think about you creating it. Can you create a tree? Can you create a cell? Can you create a star? Think about it. Can you create water? How about air? Can you create that? Can you create eyes? Can you create a brain? I mean, give me a break, really. And yet human beings take these things so haphazardly, like it's something they control or something they own. But you don't. You don't own yourself. The Lord does. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. This is awesome. So he was with you from the very beginning, and even before the foundation of the world. I mean, it's incredible. Give me a break. I'm exploding, you know. I explode inside at the facts of these facts, you know. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. All right, I think part of that psalm there, a little bit of the attacker and the accuser was coming in there. Wicked men that don't want to revere the Lord. Wicked men that don't choose the Lord. The evil one that is your enemy. Okay? Now I'm going to throw some, how much time do I have, sir? Yet. Does anybody know? Does anybody know when I started?
You got about 30 minutes.
30 minutes yet?
If you want to stay on one disc.
Oh, okay. All right, so basically until about 10:45, something like that? Okay, thanks a lot. Now I'm gonna put forth a few facts. This is just some facts about creation, just to enlighten you as to what you're living in. All right, you're living on a planet that's 93 million miles away from the sun. Okay, the planet you're living on is moving at the rate of 2,000 miles an hour. And it's on an axis of about 23.4 degrees, which allows us to have seasons here and a comfortable temperature of 71.6 degrees. At the same time of moving at a rate of 2,000 miles an hour around the sun, you can sit in your living room and drop a feather and watch it fall to the floor. You're not flying into outer space, and yet everything is held and comfortably well here. Mean temperature here, 71.6 degrees. Our sister planets, Venus, mean temperature, 896 degrees above Fahrenheit, above zero, 896 degrees. Mars, negative 74 degrees average temperature. So, move us a little in a relative sense backwards, we freeze to death in 4 hours. They say if we came out of our orbit, we'd be totally dead in 4 hours. Move us a little forward in relative space, we'd burn to death. We're the third planet from our burning star that never goes up. Right? It never goes up. All of these things are like watchworks locked in, like brass and steel. Yet we take them for granted every second of our lives. We get up and we're on this globe with this comfortable temperature, moving at this rate around this star that never burns out, and we never even think about it. But the facts of the matter is that that's what's happening. Yet we have the gall to think that we deserve that. Right? I mean, if you go into our truest being, we don't revere it, so we must think that we deserve it. But you don't deserve anything at all. We don't deserve anything whatsoever. That is the lesson of the book of Job. Your righteousness is nothing in the eyes of God who created these things I'm talking about. The sun is there and will be there until we die, 93 million miles away. It comes up in the morning, it goes down at night. And if you were out there looking at us from space and watching us whiz by at 2,000 miles an hour, you'd get a different picture than what you have. If you took the size of the sun and placed it with the earth, you know, these are facts of creation. You take a silver dollar and you put it on a piece of paper. And then you take a pin and you pop that pin in. Bang! The pinhole is the earth. The silver dollar is the sun. All right? Why we don't completely fry up is incredible if you look at the dimensions of that. We live on the third planet from that star. Our planet could be big as our solar system, but it's this minuscule thing of 8,000 miles, that might be wrong, around. Through. Okay, through. The diameter of it. This thing could be a million miles in diameter with a billion zillion people on it, but it's this minuscule speck, non-existent in the universe. Third planet, which is the number of the Godhead, in a planetary system of nine planets, which is the Godhead emphasized. I mean, seriously, Okay? Seriously. The Son of God, God in the form of flesh, came to this dust, this speck of nothing. That's the facts. That's the facts of what, little bit of the facts of what's happening. This could be any sort of system, any sort of system, but this is what it is. Okay? The Earth's crust, how about this one? The Earth's crust is 30 miles thick. Underneath it is 1,800 miles of what they call molten plastic rock, burning. Underneath that is another form of liquid, possibly burning, 1,300 miles thick, and then a core. So you have a 30-mile crust with 3,100 miles of liquid underneath it, more than half of it burning hot. An egg filled with fire, traveling at 2,000 miles an hour, spinning around a star. That's another fact that should be shocking. That's what it is. You're on an egg filled with fire, and everything is comfortable and fine. All right? That's just the tip of the iceberg on that one, if you want to study it. Your cells, this is another one. Your brain cells, you have millions of them. Okay, I studied neuroanatomy. Incredible. The movement of two molecules of sodium and potassium across a membrane in your brain cells, of which you have millions of them, the movement of two of these molecules within the framework of 5 milliseconds. You chop a second. You got to start getting this picture of how great your God is, okay? You keep on going with this, and you're going to fall over. You got to if you're a Christian or a son of God. Brain cells, two molecules move in concentrations across this membrane. They set up like a heartbeat. They call it an action potential, which occurs in 5 millionths of a second. Millions of those going off. Millions. Click, 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 going off. Milliseconds. Because the movement of two molecules allows you to even think, move, function, see, speak. Within cells, there's this little body called a mitochondria. This is in almost every cell of your body. Cells are microscopic. This is a little thing inside these cells. There's 2 trillion of them in your body. That is 100,000 million of these little energy producers in your cells. They produce enough of this molecule called ATP, which allows your heart to have energy, which allows your heart to pump blood, which carries oxygen to your brain cells, which allows these millions of little electric impulses to go on. These 2 trillion or 100,000 million little cell structures produce enough of this molecule every day that's your body weight. 2 trillion of these little microscopic things that you can study. Are you starting to get the picture of what you are and what you're living in? All right? This is the Lord Jesus Christ created all this. All right? The impact of it. The impact of what I'm talking about. We take these things for granted every day. The oxygen, the atmosphere that we breathe. 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, right in the correct amount so that you can breathe this in with all of this other action going on so that it can go to these cells that can transmit oxygen to your lungs so that it can power your body. I mean, if you start getting into studying these things, you're going to see the majesty of the Creator. Yet you take these things for granted every second of every day of your life. I do it. That's why I can say you do it. Pretty much. I mean, at least sometime. Right? Okay? But this is just the tip of the iceberg of why you should be thankful. We have unsearchable riches in the Word of God, and we have unspeakable promises beyond even having this life of what I'm talking about. That's just the start with our God. Gives you an impression of what He's really like. All right, now I'm going to go to Acts 17. Now we're going to get a little bit into, and then I'm going to go into Acts 17 and read it a little bit. And what I'm going to do is say this, is we should be thankful. I just mentioned a few things about why we should be thankful. You should be thankful for every second of life. You should be thankful that you have a healthy life, at least at some point. You should be thankful that you have minds that understand. You should be thankful that your life is a miracle to this point, that you came through age to the point where you've been given understanding. You should be thankful that you have understanding, that you're able to read and write. And then the Lord of God lays the Word of God into your path. The living Word of God. This could be any different, any system. Think about it. This could be any system, any way. But yet then with all of this miraculous life, He lays the living Word of God in your path. And He says, here I am. This is my Word, which I recognize above my very name, according to a psalm, which I got a couple of friends of mine in South Dakota, the Medranos. I call them broken records for the Lord. The Eddie Medrano, he's like, wait, did you know that the Lord holds His Word above His very name? I call him all the time, and Mike, did you know the Lord holds His Word above His very name, Mike? Just cool it, you know. This guy's, you know, he loves it, you know. That's interesting that this Word of God is so very important. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Logos, the Word of God. He is the Word. You know, that is something you should pursue, studying the Logos. The Word of God. Logos is the Greek word for Word. But Christ was and is the Word of God, and He was in the Godhead before anything was created, right? And He is the Creator. It's incredible. Really. And I'm not just standing up here to zip you up a bit, you know, with some louder voice. And, you know, it is. This is the knowledge of God, the unsearchable riches of God. You know, so in your state of what He created you, you can have this if you want. Pretty nice, isn't it? Pretty nice. I'll take it. You know, I can remember not knowing it in my life. You know, I was maybe more of a scoundrel than some of you, or maybe more ignorant at times in my life. But when the Lord showed me these things, you know, I knew the difference. I knew the difference of what was out there and what was in His Word. He showed me that. And what is out there is worldly, the evil one working his system. Eventually, people are going to worship him. You know that? You know, this world is being corralled and funneled into a oneness. So eventually, the evil one is going to come as a deceiver and as a, when somebody falsely duplicate something, I can't think of the word right now, a counterfeiter. He's going to have his worship, you know. I ride around, either I'm wrong, or I think this world is boiling up to worship, to the worship of the evil one. And I look around at all of these people racing around, millions and millions of people, and my mind says, boy, life is really interesting. It could be anything. Yet we have all these people racing around doing whatever they choose to do in a creation of a holy creator, mostly not even being acknowledged. I wonder, why does he even bother with any people? Why does he even put up with it? Because he loves mankind and he's very long-suffering. But eventually he's not going to be anymore. You know that. Eventually his long-suffering, and it's going to be soon in relatively time, is quickly going to come to end. And mankind is going to see something they're not ready for. And that's what's happening on this theater. All right? And so the evil one is having his design here, and he's going to have his worship for a short period of time. That's what he wants. He's going to usurp the place of God, and in fact, all of these people who don't want to acknowledge God will want to know him as God. They'll cheer him, I'm sure. I'm sure if we saw a miracle today, we'd be taken back. If we saw an angel appear to us in power, we'd be certainly taken back in this weak and beggarly state that we're in. All right, well, he's going to be come with lying wonders. And, you know, I don't think we really believe that at times. You know, all of these things might seem to be a dream, or these scriptures might seem to be something that's going to happen when I'm out of here. You know, down the way a bit, right? We're not quite cognizant of the reality of these things, right? We don't want to acknowledge it so much as reality. And that's why I pray to him that these things are very, very real in my life, and how I walk around on this planet and how I spend my time here, you know, because we're so easily moved off the path. You know, that's the way we are. You know, acknowledge the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. I have this up on my, before I go out of my door every day, I have this plaque. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he shall rightly divide thy paths. Well, I walk by that every day. Woot, woot, woot. I got scriptures on my wall at the office. I look at those every day. Woot, woot. You know, there it's like, oh yeah, look. You know, it's supposed to be like this. Oh, yeah. You know, it's supposed to be before I go, oh, yeah. You know, but I can even put scriptures up and woo. Oh, I walk by and woot. Like, oh, yeah, that's there. I know that. You know, that's the way we are. We're really stupid. You know? So, my mind says, well, how can I lean unto the Lord and not to my own understanding? Well, that's a matter of faith. You know, and once you're walking that faith path, you understand life in a certain way. That's the power of God. And you're so we're so easily moved off of that. And that's the battle you're in. And if you want to acknowledge it, it's real. And if you don't, it's still real. It's still real. You're getting smoked, as I put it. And you just don't acknowledge it. And that's your problem. You know, that's your problem. Because if you claim the blood of Christ, it begins. All right, I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about the religious mind and the believer's mind. Job was initially self-righteous and religious, by the way. That was his problem. And then he faced other men around him that were humanly minded. He was self-righteous in the beginning. They were humanly minded. And they tried to give him human answers to his problem, and he had a problem even in himself, until the Lord took him down. He took him down. And if you are in the grace of God, which you are, he's going to take you down. He took me down, and then he brought me up. And you can say, oh boy, this guy's weird. Take me down. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to go into the hospital today? No, whatever that is to you, he's going to, if you are blessed, you're going to be in a position where you have a contrite heart and a broken spirit. And those are the sacrifices according to the word which the Lord enjoys. You are a living sacrifice unto the Lord. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, right? All these things we supposedly know. Well, pride is a real bad one. Pride is what brought the evil one down. Pride is what keeps him going. And the Lord is, in his grace and power, is going to bring you to the glorious position of having a contrite heart and a broken spirit in this world, by the way. But once you're there, then he starts using you, and he can use you and show you himself. That's the difference between a religious person and a person that knows the Lord. Because you can be religious, claim to know Christ, walk in your own power, and walk in your own self-righteousness. Millions of people do it every day, every Sunday. Like they're going to visit grandma at her house. It kills me. They think they can drive their cars to God's house and visit them an hour a week and then go out with their lives. It's crazy. He's the living God. You don't put him in a box. He's not in a box. He's with you every second.
Amen.
You know, so these churches or buildings, or I don't acknowledge them as churches anymore. They're buildings. And these people go there like they're visiting grandma on Sunday. And like God's in that box. It's ridiculous. You know, but that is the religious person. Job was there in the beginning. But he found out the proper and initial lesson of a son of God. And then the Lord could use him. And then he knew, once he was stripped of himself, he knew the righteousness of God. That is what we initially have to learn in this life, let alone all these other things we're going to be talking about. So, what I'm going to read is, and see, I think that the Apostle Paul knew the book of Job, right? He was a person that was as of the law, what did he say, unspotted, I'm sorry, I don't get the quotation right. He was perfect in the law, right? He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Do I have that right? Which, you know, that's not either here nor there to me exactly. But in the Jewish world, that might have been awesome. He was a prodigy. He was a, what do they call those three-year-old kids that can play symphonies? He was a master of the law at a young age, studying under the great master. You know, so he must have known the book of Job, no doubt. Now, when he was confronting, this is how I see this, when he was confronting these men, these philosophers of this world, same world, it hasn't changed any. Okay, it hasn't changed any, by the way. You know, do you know that the United States actually reveres Rome a lot? You know, a lot of the muckety-mucks of these philosophical and psychological societies go back to Rome, how it was, the arts of it, their columns, their structures, how they thought. There's even buildings they can't build the same way. They go back to Athens and study Socrates and Philo and all the... What are they doing? You know, that was 2,000 years ago. That's still the same. Just because we have jet planes and because we have air conditioning and heating and we have cars that go 80 miles an hour and because we don't have to hunt our food, it's still the same. It's still the same planet. It's still revolving the same. It's still the same planet the Lord came to. Human beings are still the same. They're still evil in their nature. They still think the same the way they did 2,000 or 2,300 years ago, or 4,300 years ago when the flood was here. They're still the same. It's still the same. Modern inventions don't make it any different. People still worship Satan. That's not any different. people still get into spiritualism and humanism and all these goofy things. It's not any different. And I think we're made to believe that just because we're in this modern society with these nice, comfortable lives that it's different. But it's not any different. 2 minutes? Oh, I'm sorry. The world powers that are, that the evil one offered up to Christ when he was here so that Christ would worship him, aren't any different. They're still under the control mostly of the evil one. It hasn't changed any. You know, so if you're duped into thinking that our society is so much more Christian because we live in a so much more civil way of living, you're wrong. It's just more clandestine now. It's more clandestine now because of how societally nice we are. It's still the same. So the society that the Apostle Paul is going to confront in Rome or in Acts 17, knowing the instruction of the book of Job in his heart and mind, by the way. I believe that the Apostle Paul knew the book of Job when he was confronting these philosophers, okay? And that's important because the Apostle Paul had this wisdom in his mind. And he had to actually come down many steps in the ladder to confront these men who thought he was a peon or thought he was some rabble-rousing madman. He had to step down to their level. That's what he was doing. What I'm doing is I'm associating Job with Acts 17 and with the philosophy of the world. And what I can do is I can... I'm sorry, Jim. I just kept on rambling. I'm going to have...
When you start next time.
Oh, maybe I'm going to have Jim McWilliams.